It's time once again to buckle up your chin straps because you were on the mic with Jay Bird and Size. I'm Size, and I'm here with my good friend, my fellow Gamecock, Jay Bird. And Jay Bird, here we sit. Big win. Surprising win score-wise, but we're 4-2 on the year. How you feeling this week?
Feeling great. What a great victory for us at home. We finally put on a show in front of the crowd, the hometown crowd. It was super nice. Love watching the game. It's nice to see that second team come in the fourth quarter, yeah. Isn't it? With no worries, them making good plays.
Yeah, it's nice to see guys when you got to look to see who they are. Or you go, man, look at old such and such finally getting in.
Yep.
That makes you feel good. Close game there for a while, back and forth, even kind of the halftime. But in the third quarter, things really just kind of changed tremendously. I think we won that third quarter like 17-0, I believe. But let's talk about the first half of the game a little bit. And what was your overall thoughts going in? And, you know, going into the game, kind of that first quarter, second quarter.
Well, I was a little bit worried because we had talked about how much our offense has struggled, especially at home, and our defense stepped up big time in this game. Kind of took care of the offense. Kind of hit them. And their struggles a little bit the last few weeks. So, nice to see. Best game out of our defense probably since Muschamp's been there. Really played well. So, I'm really impressed. We, like you said, we broke it open in the third quarter with the Sky Moore interception and the return for a touchdown. That really swung in our momentum. And, of course, we had the fumble return for the touchdown as well, and then the stadium was rocking then.
Yeah, looked like it was going to be kind of a typical South Carolina game, back and forth, back and forth. They're going to score, we're going to score. And I was just thinking, man, we can't – at some point, we're going to get exposed here. And then you hear the rumblings in the crowd because we're not going fast on right before halftime. It is frustrating a little bit when you're closer to midfield. It's not like we were pinned back, but scoring right there before the half gave us a lot of momentum. Brian Edwards with a beautiful catch there on the pylon, great ball by Jake Bentley. But that capped off. You know, Hayden Hurst had a big play that got the crowd into it. But it just seemed like, man, here they can. They were going to keep coming, keep scratching. 10-10, we miss a couple field goals again, and it kind of had that here-we-go-again feeling about it. Get that big score with 4 seconds left in the half, and then we go in, and something just happened. I mean, that defense found a way in the third. Two defensive touchdowns in the third quarter alone.
Yes.
Sky Moore with a 34-yard interception, and going back and watching that play, him reading the eyes of the quarterback, he's in an area he had no business being, but the kid just knows how to get to the football, one away from tying the record now. That's impressive for a linebacker.
That's great. That's fantastic.
And then you had old T.J. Brunson. Talked about him a lot this year. Guy's been a great surprise. Flying around, scoops up a fumble and goes 73-yard. And that defense, for the first time, is starting to play with a little swagger. Starting to look like D.J. Swearinger and some of those guys back there again. They're getting excited. They're getting pumped up, playing with a little bit of cockiness, which is fine if you're coming through for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, it was one of the – this is the type of defense we expected to see when we made that T-Rob Muschamp hire.
That's right.
And hopefully get some more talent in. We're going to see more of this.
I think so. I thought it was good. We kept them to – 6 for 14 on third down, which is still not great, but much better than it has been.
That's where
we've struggled all year. So we got off the field a little bit. They did run 69 total plays. We gave up 4.8 yards per play. Now, some of that skewed a little bit. We gave up some junk yardage towards the end of the game, but could not have been prouder of the energy that we played, especially our run defense we've been concerned about. A lot of those defensive linemen pushing through and really making some plays. 7 tackles for a loss. So that's good to see going forward.
Yeah, fantastic. I'm gonna move us over to the offensive side.
All right, let's hear about it.
And I thought with the injuries we've had, the offensive line played good.
Yeah.
And one interesting thing, Jake struggled a little bit.
He did.
I think as good as the defense played, it kind of hid that.
It did.
I think I heard a lot of grumbling about Jake and well, is he the right guy for us? Type deal thing. Jake was off. You and I both admit. Yeah. But if this is the worst game he's had in the 11 or 12 starts as he's had in his career, fine, people, we are going to be okay.
Yeah, and statistically, he probably is. You would make the argument, well, his Clemson game was worse, his Florida game was worse last year on the road. Well, his Florida game, we started making a comeback there at the end, so statistically his numbers didn't look that bad. But he's 16 for 31. That's not like him. 199 yards, 3 touchdowns. Here's why I say we're okay. Yeah, he missed some throws.
He missed some very easy throws.
Him and Brian Edwards are not on the same page at all. I don't know whose fault it is or if it's both of them's fault or what, but they need to spend some time together and get on the same page. He missed Hayden Hurst wide open for what would have been a touchdown on a little corner out there going towards the sideline. He still had 3 touchdowns. He had 0 interceptions.
Yeah,
so
yeah, exactly right.
As bad as he might have played, he took care of the football. Now, we want him to hit some of those other throws so we could have busted this game open, but he took care of the football and had no turnovers. So it's hard to be upset. It's really hard to be upset about that. He was sacked one time. I'm speechless. People are actually saying, well, maybe we ought to get ready to start this freshman next year, or maybe we ought to give such and such a chance. Y'all have got to be out of your mind.
Yeah, I when I saw some of the message boards and the things I saw talking about, well, Joyner's going to come in and he's going to take this kid's job. No, he's not.
He's not.
And
you always hear about a sophomore slump.
Yeah.
And that's kind of – I mean, you got to remember, Jake has just finished
his freshman year, basically.
Yeah.
I was just surprised. He did have an off game. And look, the statistics are there. 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
But you and we saw some of the easy throws he missed, a lot of high balls. We've right. talked about that. Just struggles. But, guys, like I said earlier, if this is one of the worst games he's played, we're going to be fine.
Absolutely.
We're going to be fine. So, take it easy. I thought the offense, I've got a question for us a little bit when we get into our questions.
Okay.
We'll talk a little bit more about the offense.
All right.
I just wanted to get that in while we were summarizing. So,
yeah, absolutely. I still want to. I want to point something out while we're on this topic. Then we'll move on. Jake Bentley is still third in about every passing category in the SEC. He's third in yardage. I think he's second in touchdowns. He's second or third in percentage completions. We're going to be all right.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to be all right.
We're going to be fine. And doing all this with a hurt Debo.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to be fine.
Yeah, we're going to be fine. All right. So let's keep moving on here. Give me player of the game. Not a lot of huge stat lines, but give me – because we spread it around so much. But give me a player of the game.
You know, I'm going to go with Rico Dowdle. Like you said, 11 carries, 61 yards, no touchdown. 5.5 yards a carry, and the reason I'm going to give him the – I did not realize how banged up he was.
Yeah.
Muschamp talked about they drained this man's thigh. You hear of draining knees, swelling and stuff, but he had such a contusion, they were draining his thigh. This is the first I've heard of this.
Yeah.
I did not realize he was that hurt. I remember how awesome he was for us last year. And I hear so many people calling for Tyson to get the ball. Guys, Rico was awesome for us last year. Let's not forget that. Glad to see him back healthy. I, once again, didn't realize he was that hurt. Thank you, Rico, for hanging in there. They said he has not missed a practice.
No.
He has been hanging in there and been tough as a nail. So, way to go, Rico. Player of the game. We'll send you some kind of award.
There you go. You'll get, we'll give you a shout out there. 61 yards, people would say, oh, that's terrible. You're averaging 5.5, we'll take it. And when the second leading rusher on the team is averaging 4.4, we'll take that too. So great job there. I thought our running game improved over 159 yards officially, but y'all know how that goes with the sacks. Over 160 yards for our rushing game. So I'm going on the other side of the ball just to mix things up. I want to go after a guy that didn't put up a huge stat line, but who over the last couple of weeks is really starting to play better, and he has been picked on a lot this year. And so I think it's time to give him some love. I'm going with Jamarcus King.
Yeah.
Only three tackles. He had three solo tackles, but he had two pass breakups and is really starting to play better. Guys are going after him because they're staying away from Fenton. They're staying away from LeMond's. And so it's good to see him have a solid game. After you know, taking some deep shots early on him this year. So I'm going with Jamarcus King. Statistically, not a huge game for anybody on the defense, tackles-wise, other than the three big touchdowns we had there. So I'm going with Jamarcus King, player of the game. Jamarcus, you better keep it going now. Don't make me look bad. I have to take it away from you next week.
Yeah.
So stop talking about keeping things going. We got to get to our get it together, man. Now, folks, if you're new to the show,
this is fan favorite.
Fan favorite here. You do not want to be in this segment of the show. So, Jay Bird, who is your get it together man for this game?
Well, this is going to be – hear me out now.
I'm going to hear you.
I'm going with Muschamp on this one.
Will Muschamp?
Yeah. If you send Parker White out for another 49-yard field goal, I'm coming down to Columbia myself. All right?
Oh.
This is getting a little ridiculous. Let's get the man's confidence up and send him in for a 40-yarder or something. I mean, over and over again, 49, 50 yards. Come on, get it together. I mean,
nah, I'm as frustrated with the kicking game as anybody is, but the kid has missed several 48 and over, a couple 50s and over. And, yeah, he's got the distance, but until he puts it between them two big tall poles, it's time to stop. I'm with you on that. And I didn't know where you're going because I'm pretty big on the Muschamp train right now. But, yeah, Coach, if you'd stop doing that, let's keep it in. Let Jake just do a little quick kick. If we're going to do something, or, heck, just go for it.
Anything.
But you miss a 49-yard field goal, you're giving them pretty good field position. So, I'd rather us run a draw or a screen. I know that drives you nuts, but I'd rather us do something. Man, those are tough.
Let's hear who you got. Let's hear who you're going with.
Well, I'm going with a department.
A what?
A whole department.
A department?
A whole department. I'm going with the University of Tennessee Student Ticket Department, and here's why. They have emailed all their students, however many there are and however many got the email, that they have upped the limit of student tickets to 8 for this game because there's been a modest reply for tickets. Folks, let me break that down what that means in normal language. That means nobody wants to go to the Tennessee home games, including their students. So they're letting them get up to 8 student tickets to pass out to whoever to come to these games.
Their distant relatives, their distant cousins.
The guy on the street corner. I don't know what they're doing. But University of Tennessee Student Ticket Department, get it together. They don't need 8 tickets because they don't want the 2 you were going to give them to start with. Get it together.
Well, that's one of our best segments. I loved it.
I don't, you know, never thought we'd talk about their ticket department, but here we are.
You never know what it could lead to.
You never know what's going to happen on this show, folks. This is live and unscripted, and who knows. Well, now I've got a question from our buddy Holden in Nashville.
Now, Holden has hit us with – he always hits us with some challenges, so I'm interested to hear what this leads
up to. He's got a doozy this week now.
Oh, boy.
Holden wants to know what a leadership rep is. Now, before I let you answer that, this is stemming from – Coach Jones has been known to say some goofy things. Our players are 5-star players in life. Stuff like that. We're champions of life, you know, after they lost anyway, but at least we're champions of life, you know. Well, now he said his quarterbacks don't have to get a physical rep. They need to get a leadership rep. I think he's talking about a mental rep where they're focused and they're trying to do the right thing. But what's your thoughts on a coach coming out and saying that the quarterbacks need to take leadership reps?
Well, I've been stunned on this one. This is a dude. this is the hardest question we've had asked yet, and Holden has topped it. I Googled leadership rep, and it come up with some type of sales reps association right. position. I have yet to figure this out. I don't know. I'm like you. Maybe he wants someone to take the reins of this team. Maybe that's what he's trying to say and step up and be a leader. I'm not real sure. I know that I thought he was going to be fired for this game, and might be after this game. I don't know.
Saturday, your prediction might come true. Now, I want to say something real quick before I finish up with this comment with Holden. We're both acknowledging it's a very real possibility we go up to Knoxville and lose this game. Now, we're not clowning Tennessee in the sense that oh my gosh, we're going to blow them away. No, that's not what we're doing. What we're doing is taking what's really happened and just seeing the mockery in it. You can't say stuff like that. I mean, you got to find a better way. This guy's on more, what do you call those things? Memes? Those little internet graphic things? The little pictures with the words on.
Yeah.
He's on more of those because of these dumb comments. Like, hey, man, you got players quitting, transferring. You got boosters calling for you to be fired. The best thing you could have done this week was keep your mouth shut and get ready for a game, and you go say something dumb like that. Then, in the middle of the week, you change your starting quarterback. So somebody must not have been – that old other fella must not have been taking them leadership reps serious. We're going to move on because it sounds like we're making fun – well, we are making fun of them because it's ignorant.
We are, but let's not be real. They have a lot of talent.
Tennessee has a lot of talent.
This is a good football team.
They do. All right. You got another question, I think.
I was curious to see, how you felt. Now, we talked about this earlier, how well the defense played. And we have talked about in the past Roper's play calling, mm-hmm. especially the last couple of weeks.
Yep.
How did you feel Roper's play calling was? Because the defense seemed to have played so well that I just wanted to see how you felt it was this week. I mean, the defense put up 24 points. 21 points.
But we scored 24 off of their turnovers.
They did put up 21.
But they scored 21 themselves.
Yes. Yeah, so how did you feel about the offensive play calling this week? Let's get into that a little bit before.
Well, when your defense either scores or leads to half your points, it sure makes your job easier as an offensive coordinator. It also makes your job easier when you're able to run the ball a little bit better, this time. We averaged, even with the sack, right at 4.5 yards per carry. And so we didn't have to throw the ball a whole bunch this time. So it was pretty even. I thought it was a little more creative, especially starting the game off. A lot more motion. Even if we didn't use the motion, we used it to kind of – man, people have been motioning us to death for years. And you have to respect it, But that linebacker goes out, we're good. Now you've opened up that inside draw you've wanted to run for weeks, standing still. Hayden Hurst getting a couple carries early in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Made me wonder if he was going to be our starting running back there for a while. I think it's impossible to judge him on his play calling for this game because before we even got deep into the second half, the defense changed the whole momentum of the game. They scored on back-to-back possessions.
Yeah.
And with that kind of energy in the crowd, I think he managed the game well. There's a difference in being conservative when you jump up 24 points than when you're up 10.
Or 7.
Or 7. Or 3. And so, totally different scenarios than the A&M game. Yet to be so I wouldn't add any more stake or take away any stake in the Roper stock based off of this game.
Yeah.
I do think he utilized some things this week that we've not done in the past. A lot of motions, even some jet sweeps and stuff like that. I think Brian Edwards had a carry.
He did have a carry down near the goal line. Like the old Devo play used to be.
If that's Hayden, he scores.
Yeah.
Old Brian ain't quite got the girth. Old Big Red's got. Old Big Red's going to get in that end zone. So, a long way to go with our play calling. Well, Wes, that's all we have for our fans' questions of the week there. So hope you enjoyed that. Keep sending those in via Facebook or Twitter, and we'll get them on the show next week. So, Jay Burr, before we jump into our picks, one of your favorite times, we're going to take a small break and enjoy the beautiful sounds of the mighty sounds of the Southeast of Carolina band. Man, I'm telling you, the place was rocking Saturday with those defensive scores, but it gets me pumped up during the week, ready to hopefully we hear a little more of the Carolina band this week and a little less of the Tennessee old we can keep old Rocky Flop where it's supposed to be.
You got that right.
All right, Jay Bird, tell us where we stand. Man, it really – last week, I'm just going to let the fans know, it came down to that last game where we differed on that Michigan State-Michigan game. I could have blown the week open on you.
Yep.
But you made a great pick with the Michigan State pick, and I think we ended up tied up again, didn't we?
Yep, we ended up tied up again, 3-2 for the week. Now, keep in mind, guys, we're picking five games a week. Just to kind of recap, picking five games a week. Last week, we both went 3-2 overall for the year. I am 16-4, and you have a one-game lead on me at 17-13.
You know, if you can stay above 500 every week, you're going to be all right.
That's pretty good, pretty picking good against the spread.
Yeah. All right. So throw them out there. We hadn't discussed these yet, so you catching me on the spot here.
All right. So here we go. We got first game. We got Georgia Tech at number 11, Miami.
Okay, so we're getting out of the conference here.
Yep.
Man, and what's the spread?
I'm sorry. Miami is favored by 6, so they're minus 6. Mm.
It's so hard to predict with that Georgia Tech offense. That option is tough. Miami coming off a big win. Not going to be an intimidating crowd there at home because they can't get people to come to their games. I'm going to take Georgia Tech to cover. I think Miami wins by a field goal, but I'm taking Georgia Tech to cover.
I like the pick. I saw Georgia Tech play earlier this year. They were hitting hard.
Yep.
Defense was hitting hard, but not so fast.
Oh.
I like Mark Richt. I like this Miami team. I think they're just laying low. I'm taking Miami to win by a touchdown.
Mm.
1 point, I'm taking Miami.
All right, so we got one different already. We haven't differed much.
No, we haven't.
That's one reason we're so close is because there's not been so many differences.
So, second game on the pick slate, we got Texas A&M at Florida.
Now,
Tough game.
This the game Florida's wearing them goofy uniforms?
Yeah. Yeah, now this is something we indiffer on too because I like them. I like them.
Good grief.
I've seen nothing but people hate them. They think they're hideous.
They are. And because of that, I'm taking A&M. I'm taking the Aggies over them awful uniforms in the swamp. And that'll teach them for creating goofy-looking uniforms, trying to create alligator skin. They got 14 colors in that uniform. It don't make a lick of sense.
Yeah. As far as the pick goes, I'm probably going to agree with you. Texas A&M actually surprised me when they played against Alabama last week. They really kind of hung in there and really held them well in the second half. This Florida team, I just don't know what to think. They're off and on. I thought they were going to win against LSU last week.
About that?
I just don't know what to think. I'm going to take Texas A&M here.
You know, and A&M keeps scratching out, you know, some of these games, and that loss keeps hurting more and more.
It does. It really does. Yeah.
All right. So the next one here, we got a big rivalry game.
Yeah.
Number 12, Oklahoma is minus 7.5, and that game's at Texas.
It's a neutral site.
They play theirs neutral site
at the Cotton Bowl.
That's right. All right. So Oklahoma is minus 7.5 versus Tom Herman's Texas team. Who are you taking?
I'm taking Oklahoma here. I'm with you. This Texas team, I just don't know what to think of. Yeah. They've won some games. They lost some games. This is a big rivalry. You know they think they want to hang in there. Oklahoma took a tough loss already. Ooh. They're furious. They've got to do something to try to get back up into that top four.
Yeah.
So I think they come out guns a-blazing.
I'm taking Oklahoma as well. I'm going to differ with you in the sense. I think Oklahoma wins big because of that loss last week to Iowa State. I don't remember what the spread was on that game, but Oklahoma was a huge favorite. And to let them come back and win, I think that loss is so bad on your resume, and now I'm talking kind of March Madness. I know the playoff committee looks at things a little different, but that's such a bad loss, I don't think you can get back in the top four. I just don't. So, but I'm taking Oklahoma for lots of reasons, and one being I don't like Tom Herman. But anyway. all right, let's jump back into conference.
Okay.
Auburn. Auburn has quietly snuck into the top 10.
Yeah.
Sitting there at 10th, -7 at LSU, which we all know is an intimidating place to play.
It is.
But it didn't help them last time they were there.
Well, they're playing in the real Death Valley. So I'm going to – this is tough for me. This is real tough. LSU, I just don't know what to think. They got beat by Troy. Then the next week they come back, bounce back, and win Florida. Just not the consistency there for me. Auburn has been quiet. I'm going to take Auburn to win here.
Man, Auburn to win. That's a big 8 points. So they'd have to win by 8.
Yeah.
There. 2 scores.
Man.
I like it. I'm going with Auburn. And I agree with you 100% in what you're saying. LSU's too inconsistent. They are playing in the real Death Valley. Auburn is going to be too much for them to handle, and I'm going to even go a step further. After losing 2 straight games at home, Coach O's going to have to find himself a new job because they can't get rid of him just yet, but he's going to be thankful for that buyout. Because there's going to be some unhappy boosters when they lose 2 straight home games at LSU.
Yeah.
All right. So that leaves us with those of you keeping track at home. That's 4 games.
Yeah.
Take us to the 5th one. The good guys are in on this one.
5th, guys, we got South Carolina at Tennessee. Tennessee is a 3-point favorite at home. Kind of surprising to me a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what you thought about that. You're a little surprised. Yeah. Now, not that Tennessee's not more talented. They may be. Their stadium is an electric place, tough environment to play. But if you consider everything, which that's what Vegas does, they consider everything.
Injuries,
lack of ticket sales, lack of production, coach drama, locker room drama. Are you surprised that Tennessee's a 3-point favorite?
I am surprised. I honestly thought this would be kind of a pick 'em game.
Yep.
That they would might consider us maybe the better team, but give them a little bit of a home field advantage.
Right.
Tennessee's just got a ton of drama going on.
They've suspended a starting defensive end because of an altercation in practice. They're changing their quarterbacks. Quarterback's making his first career start, which that never does go well for the Gamecocks.
It seems like this guy's maybe a little bit of a runner, too.
Yeah.
So we never do that well.
Never do that well.
For me, I'm going to pick us here. I talked about earlier in the year, just to be a little bit more serious, I did predict that I thought Butch Jones would be gone by this time, by the time we did play him. If you remember last year, how bad they did not have a very good record overall. They had a winning record, but they won about 5 ball games with just a couple minutes left in the game. A lot
or
of
seconds
luck,
or whatever.
Hail Mary at Georgia.
Yeah.
Just things like that just don't happen. A lot of luck involved. This guy has – Butch Jones has had great recruiting class and just has not done nothing with it. I'm taking us to win this outright. We've played well on the road. I think we win here. I think it's just – I think they are really struggling, this Tennessee team as a program.
I think our give us a score on that one. We got to have
Yeah, I'm going to go. I think it's a close ball game. I think we win by three, even though Tennessee's favorite. I think we win 27-24.
I think the last five games in this series have been decided by a field goal or less.
And Muschamp has a great record against Tennessee.
Yeah, 5-0, I believe. Very good. I think he's 5-0 against Tennessee. I'm taking the Gamecocks. And I'm taking the Gamecocks for a couple reasons. I think there's a lot of stuff going on at Tennessee. I think our defense is gaining a lot of confidence. Now, let's not forget Tennessee has one of the best running backs in the conference. But we showed last week that we've got some guys that can step up in the middle and play, really plug some holes. We have played well at times on the road this year. And I'm still blaming the meltdown on more on coaching than I am execution. So if I think if our coaches can keep us aggressive late in the game if we have a lead, we're going to be okay. I think late in the game, if we're down a little bit, we have to be aggressive. So I like our odds. If we stay aggressive, especially late in the game, I like our odds. I think we win it a little bit. I'm going 31-24 on that. And, man, that would be a huge win coming back to Columbia.
Huge win. We've got a tough, really tough stretch of games coming up. And I think we're getting a little bit healthier on offensive line, which is going to help a lot. I don't think people realized, I don't think, because it happened at the same time as Debo, how significant that injury
three starters out is a significant loss.
Not only that, but Zach Bailey.
Yeah, Corey Helms has been out. So getting them healthy. If we can win this game and come back 5-2 for homecoming, well, we'll have a bye week.
Get it even more healthier.
Then we have homecoming against Vanderbilt. If we can get to 5-2 going into our bye week, there's anybody that says they're not happy with that is out of their mind.
Yeah.
Out of their mind. So, Jay Burke, give us some closing comments and get ready to wrap us up here.
Yeah, listen, want to say thank you again to all the listeners. What a great week to be a Gamecock.
Absolutely.
And we appreciate everyone. If you are a Gamecock fan or you enjoy college football, we talk about all kinds.
Yep.
We do our picks. Tell your buddies about it. Let them know about the show. And, hey, if you want to be a sponsor of the show, we'll take that too.
Yeah, we'll figure something out. We'll make something out. Here's what we want to say. We'll share this on your Facebook, on your Twitter. Tell somebody about it. If you disagree with some of our comments, that's great. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to tell you why.
We'll read them on the show.
Yeah, we'd love to tell you why you're wrong. You know, we'd love to do that. But we really do enjoy and appreciate all our listeners every week. We're continue to be humbled by this. We're just two guys that sit at your table and talk football. And each week people listen to us and we constantly flirt with, you know, top 10, top 8, top 12 rankings in our category. So, fans, if you're making the trip, got an early kickoff this week, 12 o'clock. I think that's because the SEC network thinks nobody wants to watch us. So, we got us the SEC's put us on a 12 o'clock game, so nobody will watch this what could be a disastrous game of two terrible teams at times. But if you're taking that trip up, be careful, be loud. Be proud. Wear your garnet on game day.
That's right.
And let's get after it.
Let's go Big Orange and let's go Cox.
Go Gamecocks.